commonly known as Mommet, Mr. Mommet. Will has been in the church for a long time. He and Marilyn were kind of hippie types, more like myself, so I always kind of related to them and because of the hippiness. But I told Will I was going to say basically, you need no introduction. So I'm going to hold to that. Will Ahmet, he needs no introduction.
I just want to say that I really appreciate the privilege of being able to speak. I don't take it lightly. I've been here for a spell, and it doesn't happen that a lot of people have that privilege, and I just want to say thank you. Marilyn and I listen to the message in the mornings, kind of a through the Bible thing, and a while ago we were listening to the third chapter of Corinthians, and this scripture kind of jumped out at me. Now, we've been listening to the message, and it's Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, does it sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either you, to you, or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. I tell you, my head just exploded. The we publish it was something that just excited me. I started thinking about publishing. And I know that we publish it, and the other thing says that, you know, it's written in our hearts to be read by all men, but people don't read hearts. So I was sitting there saying, publish it. That's great. Now, I'm going to give you kind of the rules of where I am. When I first started, I had the opportunity to possibly do it on the 3rd, but Jane chose the 17th, so I had time to get nervous. And one of the things that I got nervous about is it was the Corinthian church was in Paul's heart, and that's above my pay grade. That is more like Judson Cornwall. Judson Cornwall, Shekinah was written in his heart, and he published it. So this really, the title of this would be Personal Publishing in the Kingdom of God, because personal publishing is kind of where I am. And in God's church, you have the church, and then you have the small groups, and then you have the family, and then you have... So I'm down to the individual publishing. At one time, authors started with a blank piece of paper. They filled it with their ideas, and then they would edit it and send the finished work to a publisher where it would get further editing and then be published. Same concept for books, newspapers, magazines. And it's still done today, but with computers. Now, man is desperately trying to catch up to God. We think computers are a big deal because they can assimilate many facts. We hear proud computer experts say that they are developing vehicles that will be able to function without damaging themselves or others, and are even training computers on how to be embarrassed. God just laughs. He did that one afternoon on the 6th day of creation. Man was created so that he could be without any direction, and he could direct himself, and he could choose to be directed by whomsoever he will. So he also allowed his creation to discern the truth, not just facts. So we are ahead of computers. Don't worry about it. We'll stay there. Now, the thing that impressed me was I felt like our hearts are like hard drives. God writes on our hearts. There's software on computers that puts the hard drive into what is called protected mode, so that no harm can come to that hard drive without your permission. The Holy Spirit will install that software on your heart if you will ask Him. Now, unlike hard drives or paper, our heart records doubts, fears, joy, happiness, other emotions, and experiences in addition to words. We can have an experience written on our heart with no words written or spoken that will remain for a long time, sometimes a lifetime. In the world, there are many publishers and editors and even more authors. In the kingdom, I believe there is one author, one editor, the Holy Spirit, but many publishers. We, my concept is that we publish when we read what the Holy Spirit has written on our heart, and another heart opens to what we read and receives that writing and changes that life so that it passes from glory to glory. In the Old Testament, books were written which told us who God is and what He requires. Some books were signed by the author, such as Psalms, Proverbs, but in reality, the books were written by the Holy Spirit. As I see it, there was a transition in the New Testament. During this transition, the books of Matthew, Mark, and John were written to tell the firsthand testimony of Jesus on the earth. The rest of the New Testament is a series of letters to individuals and churches. This comprises the standard which, with the help of the Holy Spirit, allows us to know the truth of God. But the Holy Spirit didn't stop writing. He continues to write today, and I intend to share some of the examples of these writings. We are very privileged in our church to have a whole lot of people who have published. More than you know. But just as a sample, these are books by Sue Curran. These are books by Fuchsia Pickett. This is a book by Carol Noy. All of them anointed. There's a thing called a ghostwriter. It's an editor who writes but keeps it within the voice of the author. So the person that writes the books, and a lot of these books were written really by Carol Noy. She took the notes, she wrote the books, but she wrote it in such a way that when you read it, you hear Fuchsia Pickett. That takes a lot of humility. The Holy Spirit has a lot of humility. Jesus said that when He comes, He will not speak of Himself, He'll speak of the Father. But He has even more humility than that. If you aren't careful, you won't know when the Holy Spirit writes on your heart, because when He writes on Gideon's heart, it sounds like Gideon. When He writes on Pastor's heart, it sounds like Pastor. When He writes on my heart, it sounds like me, and thus I'm speaking to you, but in reality, it's something that the Holy Spirit wrote on my heart, and if you can hear it, all we need to do is write. We aren't responsible for the publishing. Now, I have a business, and the thing about my business is I love to see the people. I love to go out. I enjoy the work, but I hate book work. I hate keeping track of who owes me, who I owe, and all the rest of it. The neat thing about this business is you just have to read what He wrote. He keeps all the books, and you're not going to be cheated. I can guarantee it. Okay, this is Apples of Gold, published by Shekinah Christian Academy. You see, we're not done with the publishing. And then this is Journal on Memories from Amit Yesteryears. I am published. I started When the kids left home, I started on the 11th of November, and every day until mid to the end of March of 2000, they received an email with a story or a song of something from either my childhood or their childhood, so that they could like it, so that they could read it and remember it. And the thing is, Anna liked it so well that she published it and gave me a copy, and Hans a copy, and her a copy. So I have three copies. I'm good. This is one that I want to share a little bit with you, because I said that I would share some of the publishings. This is songs that were written by people in the church during mostly during the revival. And one of these songs was written by Julie Bland. The words are, "He's magnificent, this Jesus. He's wonderful. He's glorious. He's excellent. And he loves me. He's forgiven me. Shed his own blood. Given his own life to save me." Powerful words. But you didn't just hear the publishing of that song. What you heard is me reading from a book that was written down. When that song was published, I can tell you what happened. I was sitting right back there, or standing, and Julie Bland was right up here. And suddenly, a cappella, a song that had never been heard before, came. And it started out with Julie in song, which I won't belabor you with, because she sang in tune. But she said, she declared her love for Jesus. She boldly declared her love for Jesus. That was followed by a triumphantly declaring Jesus' love for her. That song has been, the thing that is in that song has been written before. You'll find it with the Shulamite maid when she said, "My beloved is mine and his desire is towards me." But if that song were to be sung tonight, in my mind, I would see Julie. I would hear Julie. It would not change. I don't care who was singing it, because it was published in my heart when she sang it. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking of. Now, we had a gal here by the name of Brenda Necessary. Now, I need to stop here and tell you a little bit about me. I love music. You're going to find that, you know, while I'm talking here. When Marilyn and I were in Wyoming, we had a chance to go to Red Rocks and listen to a fellow by the name of Gordon Lightfoot, one of my favorite people. I mean, I love Gordon Lightfoot. And we went there, and I was so glad. Red Rocks is carved a natural amphitheater, so it's nature. It's carved in, and the acoustics are fantastic. And it's open air. Now, that's important for a number of things, because that evening was just beautiful. You could look up, and you could see the stars. And Marilyn and I weren't as bothered by the pungent odor of some people that were causing things to happen directly around us. So we didn't have to leave like we would have if it had been inside. But at the end of that concert, we got up and we left, and we'd had a good time. I enjoyed myself. I left the same way as I came in. Now, later on, I'm going to mention the kind of thing that I'm talking about, but But it's important that you be where you can be changed. And I'm going to come back to that concert a little later. But anyway, during this time, you knew that the Holy Spirit was here because he published. And sometimes he published like he did with Julie, and other times he published in a different way. One time, Brendan Necessary, it's the makeup is different. The stage is different. You can't see what it was, but right over here was Brenda Necessary. And she suddenly started singing. And she was blind Bartimaeus. I mean, you could see blind Bartimaeus. And she was trying to find her way, and she had to get to Jesus. Now, this was in song. Suddenly, over here was Jesus. It was really pastor singing, but it was Jesus. And then Judy Weatherford, who was right here, started being the crowd, saying, look, get away. I'm telling you, you could smell the dust. It was amazing. Now, I'll also tell you that if that was Pastor and Brenda Necessary and Judy Weatherford, they would do that every week because it was fantastic. But that was written for one time. It was only sung one time. And if you weren't there, you missed it. That's the thing. You need to be there. Another time. This is Brenda again. And I need to warn you that just like with Julie. Julie was over here. And God wrote, he's magnificent. You need to read what Jesus has written. If she'd gotten up and said, he's magnificent, this Jesus, yeah, he's wonderful. It would not have been the same. Now, Brenda Necessary was up in the prayer room. She was sitting facing the road in the front row. I was sitting, at that time it was in the third row. There were probably at least 100 people in that prayer meeting. I was sitting in the third row back, and I was looking over, and suddenly, probably kind of behind where Pastor sits now. That would be about where I was sitting. And I looked over and I saw her, and if you go to a corporate prayer meeting, nobody is going to, after they have been there five times, nobody is going to hear me start praying. At that time, I think a long, long prayer of mine would last at least 5 to 10 seconds. Nobody would get me confused with Jimmy Lambert. Mine were quiet, and they were short and to the point. But the Holy Spirit, when he writes on your heart, you can see him writing. You can look over there and you can see that Pastor's winding up. The other day, Eddie was about to talk. I was about ready to go back to the times when we would say, I make space. Because if Eddie wasn't going to preach, I wasn't going to hear what he was going to say. And he had something to share, and I wanted to hear it. That was the kind of thing that was going on. I looked over there, and I could tell Brenda was, you could see the lava begin, and she was about to explode. Okay, so she said, she didn't put it quite like this. It wasn't, God, we need you. What she said was, God, we need you, and I want you to come tonight, and I want you to stamp eternity on our eyeballs. Okay, now, we sang a song at that time, and it was a good song. And the chorus went something like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. It's a wonderful song when you're singing it. Well, I'm sitting over here, and I didn't sing that song. The first thing I thought was, what in the world does she mean? But there was an excitement that was just building. And I don't know whether it came out my throat, but deep down in my spirit, it wasn't, yes, Lord, yes. It was, yes! Now, Pastor, you shared the other day that when you were 7 years old, you went forward, and you went the next day, and you tapped the little girl in front of you, and you said, I got saved last night. Guess what? I got saved. From what? Never mind. I was an adult. I worked at Colonial Heights Hardware. Therefore, I did not do this. But had I done it, if I had gone and said, guess what? Last night I had eternity stamped on my eyeballs. They would have said, what do you mean? What does that mean? And I said, never mind. I have, over the period of years, thought about that numerous times, heard that cry, and thought about it and said, what does that mean? While I was thinking about this and what I wanted to share, this is the thing that gave me confidence that I could come tonight and know that this was from the Holy Spirit. I needed to know that that was what it was. I told Marilyn, she says, I don't really remember that. So I called Brenda Necessary, and I said, do you remember? She says, I remember the statement, but I don't know who said it. I says, I know who said it. I'm good. Thank you. But here's the thing. While I was sitting in the bed, just thinking, I heard you walked into that prayer meeting looking at eternity from this life. You walked out of that meeting looking at this life through eternity. Huge difference in how you're looking. That is like we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But it was written in Brenda speak. It is so cool. Okay. Judson Cornwall was here. Now, I'd been here for a while. I don't know just how many times, but he had been here. But he was preaching, and he was telling about some of the adventures that he had in God and all the wonderful things that were happening and the things that he had done and the things that she had done and the things that they had done. And then he paused, and he said, now, maybe some of you have been here for a while, and you don't have any of these things to share. But cheer up, because you can always be used for a bad example. And I said, yes, that's a word for me. I am excellent at being a bad example. And at that point, I joined the ranks of David and Peter and Judson and others and continued to pursue God and watch him get glory from rescuing this bad example. Now, as I continue speaking, if you listen, I'm going to tell you the bad examples. But I'm also going to tell you what God did. What God did is important. But if you don't know the bad example that I was, you won't know how much glory God should have gotten. This came to me today. It's something that I had never realized before. I got a correction from Victor. And you may not have heard it. I know you didn't hear it because he didn't really speak it to me. But when I was made head usher, I understood that the job of the head usher is to keep things running smoothly in the church. And it's important. And I was okay with it in general. But when you had somebody like Victor come, oh my goodness, how are you going to keep things clear? You know? And so I'm sitting there, and just to be sure, I had four people catching. Because when, you know, he'd bring people up and he would talk here, and he'll come over and he'll talk to this person. And then all of a sudden he'll pray for the three of them. If you've just got one catcher, you're in trouble. So I got four of them, and then I got two backups. Because I know what can happen, right? Okay. I've never seen this done before, anywhere, or after. He started right here. And the first guy got behind the person and he said, be blessed. Hands up. Be blessed. Okay. Number one's down. Number two catches number one. Number three catches number two. Number four catches number three. I'm back there in the back madly trying to get the number two, five and six over there. And I see over here there are men sitting in the middle of the aisle. Now, you've got to understand that we move these chairs closer when you have something like that going on. They're very close. And you've got men sitting in the middle, and they are climbing over women as fast as they can in order to get out here so that Will, who has failed, is going to at least be backed up. Well, back here at the back, right about where Visha is, right about there, I was the last man standing as far as I could tell. So I stood up there and he blessed me. Then he kept on going all the way back to the table back there where Marilyn is. Now, I lay on the floor and I said, and I thought you were in charge. You thought you were in charge, Will. You know, until this afternoon, I thought that was me speaking to me. But you know, when Judson told me to relax, the Holy Spirit told me to relax. I got this. You thought that, you see, I never knew that the Holy Spirit could just have fun, because obviously he wasn't trying to minister to the people. He was just knocking them down fast as he could. I mean, listen, I'm trying to keep order here. Give me a break. Okay, so Victor comes back, and he's talking, and Victor shares a little bit, and then he starts into his, well, this time he didn't. He told us about finances. You have to understand that since I had a paper route in fifth grade, money has not stuck to my fingers very well. I would have to borrow from my mother to pay for the papers. You know, I mean, it just never worked. It never worked. I learned about tithing, and I did tithe, and it was good, but it was tithe. Tithe keeps you even, okay? And he sat there and he said, you know, what you need to do is to give offerings. If you will give offerings, if you will just believe me, if you will give offerings, God will meet you. Okay, bad example. I sat back there and I said, yeah. Yeah, easy for you to say. You go out every day, you're at a different church. They've got millionaires in some of those churches. You're not hurting. That's great. I've got dog groomers. Do you know what dog groomers make? I do. And I ain't going to be all right if I start taking some of what the dog groomers are giving me and I give it to you. I'm going to keep tithing. So I kept on sinking and being rescued and sinking and being rescued, you know, because God promised. He said, you know, if you give me your tithes and offerings, but I let's not get into technicalities here, I will see to it that you're okay. And he did. I mean, I never starved. My bills eventually got paid. So we were approaching another crisis, and my lovely wife came to me, and she said, you know, what if Victor was right? I said, well, let's just go ahead and give it a try. So I started giving an offering. And you'll see me every Sunday come up there and put an offering in. Now, since we started that, I won't say we're out of debt, but we're headed there. We never were before. We have, Instead of trying to figure out what we're not going to pay, we're figuring out where we should chunk something down. Now that's huge. Huge. When I think of the Holy Spirit writing on my heart, I think the Lord says that you should start. But you know, it's amazing. He can talk in any way he so pleases. 2 years ago, we were cleaning out up here in the launch pad. We were cleaning out the basement. I was working with Jane. Jane was telling me, oh, I'm so excited. We're going to have a ministry school. A school of ministry. And you're going to be in there, Will? And I said, not likely. And she says, what do you mean? And I said, Jane, I've been here for 40 years. And I know where I am. You see, in business, you reach a point where you top out. That means you have hit the top of your pay grade. You ain't going any higher. Well, I figured that that's where I was. I was the head usher. That's where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And I don't know that it isn't where I'm going to be for the rest of my life, and I don't care. But the thing is that I'd said I topped out. So I wasn't bitter about it. I wasn't angry at God. I mean, you know, some people have more qualities than others. Some people have more capacity than others. So now my job, having topped out and reached the top of what I'm capable of, I just cheered on the rest of the people that hadn't topped out yet. It was great. They were going way above me, and they started below me, and they were just doing great, and I loved it. But her response to me is, why would you say that? And then she went on, and we continued and finished up. What you need to know is that every time for the next, I'd say 2 weeks at least, every time I climbed in the truck, I heard, why would you say that? Why would you say that? You know, I believe that it wasn't Jane speaking. Because Jane doesn't normally just echo in my mind. And I finally came up with the answer of why I would say that. It was because I'd put a lid on God, and he couldn't do any more. And you know, the fact of the matter is, he couldn't. It wasn't because of God, it was because of me. And when I took the lid off, things started happening. Like, I could never make it to prayer meeting or Wednesday night service. Suddenly, I could, and I still don't make all of them. I don't care. I make some of them. And I have more than I had before, and I'll have more yet. And had that not happened, had Jane not heard the Holy Spirit and spoken what he wanted to tell me, I don't know that I would be speaking tonight, because I'd topped out. I wasn't qualified. And you know what? I'm still not qualified. That's the neat thing about God. That's why I'm a candidate. So a little while later, this was in like February, and I recommend highly that if you did not hear this, that you go back, because just this, just what I'm sharing here is enough to keep you going for a long time. Eddie was talking about focus. And he said, we are created in such a way that 90% of what you see, you're aware of, but you can only focus on 10%. Now, I'm going to go back to that concert. It's not wrong for me to have gone to a Gordon Lightfoot concert. or to some other fine thing. Because that's what you can be aware of. But my focus must be on that 10%. And you know, I discovered that it's very hard to try to focus on 70% and get anywhere. It's like trying to do a Thanksgiving dinner for the extended family with a Bunsen burner. It takes a long time and it doesn't taste as good. But if you focus, God will meet you and you can do what you're supposed to do. That was in February, and the name of that, I looked it up. What signs do you pay attention to, or some such thing? And I guarantee you, you will be blessed. Now, the other thing is, you don't... Judson preached many times. Right now, I can't tell you what he said. But I can tell you he said, relax. You can always be used as a bad example because that rings, see. That just rings in me. If you listen, you're probably not going to be able to recite what Pastor says on Sunday. But it might be a 5-word phrase that she says that you will eat for a long time. And the 5-word phrase that you get will be meaningless to me, but I'll get 3 words over here that'll feed me. So, and it isn't that we need to know what it is. It's that if we will show up, if we will be where we can be fed, where most of these examples come from, is when I was here on a daily basis for daily prayer meetings and 3 or 4 time a week meetings. And I'm not saying that that's where we need to go. I'm just saying that there was a lot more opportunity for me to be met. That's all. Now, if you can only focus on 10% and 90% you should be aware of, then you should try to have 90% of your time spent where God can meet you and 10% going over and visiting that 90%. If you can do that. Now, I'm down to maybe 30%, Eddie, but I'm getting there. It's a lot better than 70, I can guarantee. Okay, experience. I gave you the example of Victor knock 'em all down. It's something I don't think I'll ever forget, but here's some other things that can happen as an experience. When I hear the song that has that phrase, "He is jealous for me," I never hear that song that I don't see Carrie Mowerman lost in worship. I mean, she just lost it when that song came. Now, the song is good. The song is anointed. The song is wonderful. But the thing that draws me is the worship. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." And that worship that she was experiencing, she did not know anybody else existed at that moment. During that period of time, when I hear that song, I see Carrie. It's an amazing thing. Carlos Anacondia came here. Can't tell you what he said. I was doing something, and I had to go from here over there. And Pastor and Carlos were coming out of that door and going across the porch to the minister's lounge. He looked at me. I said, "Good morning." He said, "Good morning." I have never experienced looking into someone's eyes and seeing the love of Jesus in such a magnificent way before that time. I was undone. It wasn't something where I could turn around and say, well, excuse me, I got to spend some time with you. That wasn't it. It was enough. It was enough. But that wasn't the last time I saw that. And this is a fascinating thing to me because I observed it with Pastor praying for Ann. Now, the look was the same. It was the absolute melting love of Jesus. Now, I'm looking at Pastor now. She's got pretty eyes. But there's a difference between pretty eyes and Jesus boring in with that love. And it wasn't at me. It was not, I was observing. It wasn't like Carlos where it was directed at me. It was directed somewhere else. It was just as marvelous to look at as it was to receive. But it was an amazing thing. And I think there's one other person that I have seen that in. But there's a law of first mention. And there's a law of first experience. And I will never forget Carlos Anacondia. There's a thing in publishing called a ghostwriter. It's kind of what Carol did for Dr. Pickett and some others. You don't really get the mention, you just get the work. And God's going to give you the credit. And you kind of have to be satisfied with that. But I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is not obligated to speak through you. Or the Holy Spirit is not obligated for you to hear yourself speak. He can write the way that he wants to and use what or who he wants to. And to give you an example of this, Winston Bland, oh, what a man, what a man. We had a small group, and we were meeting at Jill's one night. And I said, Winston, I'm going to see you at the prayer meeting. And he says, Will, brother, I'm not going to be there. Pray for me. And I said, okay, I'll pray for you. I mean, it was one of those, you pray for me, I'll pray for you, brother. We'll get along just fine. And I kind of chuckled and said, okay, I'll pray for you. So Friday night in the prayer meeting, I've told you about my 5 to 15 second prayers. Now, Winston, on the other hand, Winston would get up and he would read a story. He wouldn't read a verse. He would read the story. Then he would expound on that story in his prayer. So I'm walking around and all of a sudden I get a prayer and I read the story of the four lepers in the Syrian army. And then I start expounding, and I get about halfway through my prayer, and I start almost giggling. I mean, it was all I could do. I knew what I wanted to say. I mean, the Holy Spirit finished the prayer. But the thing is here's what it is. He said, you pray for me, and I did. Because the Holy Spirit prayed Winston through me. He can write anything that he wants to. He's not limited to Will Ahmet. He's not limited to whoever you want. He can do whatever he wants. Have you ever had a Balaam experience? I've had a Balaam experience, and I'm going to tell you about that. When I was in Wyoming, I worked at a strip mine. It was an hour out in the country. And in order to save money, I carpooled with three other people. Now, the person that had gotten me the job was from our Methodist church, and she was the executive secretary of the manager of the mine. And I believe it could have been the manager of the mine. I don't remember the second one, but he was a Christian. And then there was the third one. And if you have studied about if you read the King James about Balaam's donkey, you'll understand better what I'm telling you. The the man, we would tell stories, and I would tell stories about what we were doing for Christmas, or I would tell stories about my new son, or I would, and that's the way it went. And we had three Christians, and then this guy. This guy told stories about how the bartender where he liked to go would set up fights, because he liked to see fights, and after people got about three sheets in the wind, he would mention, this guy isn't treating you right over here. And then he'd go over, you see the way he's giving you the evil eye. And by the end of the evening, he had to repair a bunch of furniture, and he just loved it. That was one of the things that he shared. And there was little, just kind of off-the-wall statements like, you know, when my ex-wife shot me that time, it really was an accident. I can understand why you wouldn't think so. Now, at the time, I was experimenting with music. I would try to get in a mood with music. I had this favorite person, and the way that I usually was going was, can I get myself down? Can I get depressed? For those of you that know Kris Kristofferson, he did really well with that. And the rules were, when you drove the car, you had the music. So we listened to classical music, and we listened to some other kinds of music, and we listened to Kris Kristofferson. Now, you would think that somebody would get it together and say, Will, and somebody did. The Bible says that I love the little words in the Bible. Words like all. Words like if. They say so much. And he says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, if you're pouring out the spirit on all flesh, how am I going to tell it's you? And he says, if it draws you to God, it's me. Flesh and the enemy and the world is not going to bring you to God. So anyway, we're driving down the road, and I put in my Kris Kristofferson tape, and he says, Will, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, this is the guy that goes to the bars. He says, you got no business doing that. You're a fine young man. You're going to church. You got a fine young son. You're not like me. You're not a loser. You need to quit it. I don't want to hear this kind of music coming from you. Do you know, it changed my life. So don't, when you are looking for what the Holy Spirit is saying, don't assume that it needs to be from the Pharisee, the priest, or the whatever, Sadducee, the higher callings. It can be from anybody. And this guy was a good worker. I never heard him say anything bad when he was in the car. He was like the donkey. The donkey said, look, you know, I've always treated you right. But the fact of the matter is, he was a donkey. Now, I've got time. I haven't told you about the times that I wrote. I could come up with a couple. It's really interesting. If you start trying to figure out personal publishing in the kingdom of God, you're going to find a lot easier to find where he wrote in my heart than you are that I wrote in his heart. But I got saved, and Marilyn and I moved out to Wyoming. We started working with the youth in a Methodist church. Hans came along, and it wasn't very long after he was born, we went to the pastor and we said, we'd like to have Hans dedicated. He says, we don't dedicate in the Methodist church. And I said, well, I want him dedicated. Well, he said, well, we don't, we don't, We don't do that. We don't even have a service for dedication. We don't dedicate in the Methodist Church. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go down here to the Baptist Church and I'll just invite all the people from the Methodist Church over here to the Baptist Church because they dedicate. Well, but we don't even have, and there's, I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I said, I'll get the high school Sunday school class to write a dedication service. He says, okay. So the high school did this dedication service. They took, this is what dedication is. This is what infant baptism is. This is the difference, and this is why Will has chosen to dedicate instead of baptize. Okay. Now, at the end of that time, we had a 70-year-old man who was a pillar in the Methodist Church. Now, I don't know about all the Methodist churches. In this particular Methodist church, that means he was old, he was rich, and he had a lot of say-so. But he came up to us with tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, when we were young, we had an infant, and we didn't get him baptized. And I always thought that we had condemned him to hell because we hadn't gotten him baptized yet. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is publishing. That is publish. That is a wonderful thing when it happens. And every once in a while, somebody's going to let you know that you made a difference in their life. Make sure that you kind of check yourself and make sure. I'm not saying that you can't do good things and nice things. You can. But make sure that it wasn't the Holy Spirit and that you take the credit for it, because it's a marvelous thing when you are published. Seems to me there was, Chris. Chris, I need to tell you this. There are experiences that you're going to have to wait to have. They're marvelous experiences. But I remember being your age, and I remember hearing this scripture. I have been young, and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed out begging bread. It was a tremendous comfort to me to hear that. But you see, now I can say I used to be young, and now I'm old. Now it's a fact. It's not as much of a fact as Tommy or John, but it's a fact. You're going to have to wait a while, but take that comfort while you can. Now, some publish by singing, some publish by preaching, some publish by talking, some publish by writing. Some publish by demonstrating who God is. Some publish by prophesying. Some publish by praying. Many times we won't realize that we've been published. We can leave to God to keep track of. Our job is to keep writing what God has written in our hearts.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Will, that was precious. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.